Hey, you are listening to Victims and Villains, a podcast. And if you guys are watching this on YouTube, we create content, talk about mental health through pop culture. And I am joined by the man, the myth, and the legend that has been in so many movies. Even if you don't know his name, you probably have seen his face, Mr. Sean Whalen. How are you doing,
Hello.
Sir?
Hello. How's everybody doing?
You know, it's a Monday. It's a good day, I guess.
It's a good day, but the weather's crazy across the U.S. We have rain right now. We just had leaking for the first time. I've been in this apartment for 8 years. We had leaking over the past storms, and starting to rain again. And where are you? And what's your weather?
So I'm in Richmond, and my weather was rainy and overcast all day. And on my way home from my day job, we had sun, so it's gone, it's past. So.
Richmond, Virginia?
Yes, sir. I grew up in Maryland as well.
Yeah, Montgomery County here. Where were you?
Hartford County.
So Hartford County.
Well, not too terribly far.
We were always competing for the snow days.
Very true.
And we were the ones who always got like the 2 hour delay.
Yeah, sorry.
Worst,
I guess I beat you.
Our delay is the worst. Come on, man. It's so
they
mean
were the
to
worst.
Beat a kid, you know?
Yeah. Well, so you have quite the prolific career, jumping into everything from big budget parts in blockbusters like Batman Returns and Twister, and then to some like more smaller like cult films like Idle Hands, mm-hmm. and as you can see behind me, Halloween 2 as
yeah.
well.
Are you a big Halloween 2 fan?
I am. I actually have Tyler's face tattooed on my hand.
Wow, that's so wild.
So yeah, when this came through, I was like, oh yeah, nope, definitely gonna reach out and do press for this.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're right now in this this press tour to promote your Indiegogo campaign for your upcoming feature film directorial debut with the movie Crust. Mm-hmm. And this is before we even jump into the crux of this movie, this is a creature feature, which I feel like you don't really see a whole lot of nowadays. Like, we're recording this a couple days after the release of Cocaine Bear, which is probably one of the most high profiled. I did. It's great.
I please tell me. Well, you might be sober. I don't know. I would think that I don't know anyone who's not going to go with either friends, either having a couple cocktails, or maybe having an adult gummy or two. I have
that's,
no idea.
That's fair.
Did you do one of those three or two of those three?
I did not. I went to this sober because I was covering it for our outlet, but I would love to.
Even though friends?
No, man. No, it's all about scheduling, you know.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Oh well. But was it all a press crowd?
No. Just a little bit of everyone.
Well then it must have been fun then.
It was a blast. Absolutely.
I really want to see it with a crowd. I don't want to like miss out on the crowd experience.
I feel like the seeing it with a crowd definitely like made it more of a better experience for me.
Yes.
So I would love to like, I feel like it's a great like party night kind of movie to watch.
That's
you
what
know,
I was saying.
And cocktail party. And then.
Yeah, that's what I want my movie to be. 100%.
And I feel like creature features, like they either slide under the radar a lot or they don't kind of like get the conversation. So what is it, even before we start talking about like what Crust is and stuff like this, what is it particularly about the creature feature genre that made you kind of say, I want to start directing here?
Well, this was Felissa Rose is very well known in the horror community. Mm-hmm. And I always call it a horror comedy. And she was the one who said she came up with a great title. It's creature feature horror comedy. Which really encompasses everything. The creature itself is, you know, I wish I could run away and go get my pictures, but the creature itself is a large sock monster manned by a Muppeteer. And so it's a huge practical puppet. I think we have 3 VFX shots, the whole thing. The rest is all practical.
Nice.
And I mean, if you consider green screen a VFX, then that's fine. But we have green screen, we have slide projections on a, because there's different, like there's fantasy sequence and then outside the laundromat, and all that is different. So to make that different, we have one section on green screen, one on slides, like people will be acting in front of a projection of a room, and we're doing very cool, interesting things. And the original idea was to have like a man and all covered in socks or whatever. And it was a friend of mine, Eric Porn, who does the special effects and actually built the original Crust puppet from Teen Wolf, the series, and now he's on Walking Dead, who said, you know, he could also just be small and cute, you know, and he made that suggestion. It was very interesting. And then it kind of went from there that I made it look, it's kind of like if you took Oogie Boogie and cut him off right under the eyes, you know? And nice. And I think that it wasn't really that. It came from an idea, just I threw out the idea a long time ago in a pitch meeting, and they were just talking about how expensive horror was. And I go, you could just have a guy covered in socks and, you know, he comes to life in a laundromat. Mentioned that 10 years ago, but then cut to, and I love that you know, I really fought for, because we had to siphon through all the people who want to do podcast requests. And I wanted to do this one because this came after a depression of mine. I went through a pretty severe depression after my divorce. Parted ways long before that. We knew we were not compatible, and it was just, you know, timing and things like that. So there was no broken hearts involved. It was, I think we had a house for 18 years. We were really a good unit. Not the marriage wasn't, you know, as strong
sure.
as I actually would like it to be, but we had the kids grow up in this house where they had all the holiday decorations. And then when holidays were coming up, first day in the, you know, divorced dad apartment, I felt like a failure. I was very depressed. I think it was just everything finally coming together. I'd been dating my new girlfriend, you know, for a while, long after we'd been separated, but it was all kind of coming to a head that holiday season. And then actually to defend my ex-wife, she said, you know, I think you just need to get through the holidays. And she was right. But I had never experienced anything like that. And I thought, you know, I'm never going to feel better again. I'm never going to not be so scared of everything. I couldn't make any decisions. I knew that yoga class was good for me, and I always felt better the rest of the day. But when I'd go to the door, I would be, should I go? Should I not go? I'm tired, but I'm not, you know, and I'd be standing there for like 25 minutes, you know, and sometimes even miss the class because of that. And when I came out of that, it was very interesting. My girlfriend and I were on the rocks, but we got together. We were doing long distance. We hadn't seen each other in 5 months. We got together, and I think it was getting through the holidays, but I had a lot of anger and weird feelings coming out of a depression, which I've never had before. And I don't know what it was. I wasn't mad at anyone, and I wasn't mad at any particular thing. I think it was maybe just like like coming out of the egg, and you're like, ah, you know, I don't know if that's a phenomenon with people have had or not. But a lot of people said, oh, you should have had a pet. And I was like, a pet? Like I could barely figure out my own stuff. I had lost a ton of weight. You know, I have no idea I'm supposed to take care of a pet. But then it'd be fun to have a pet that, you know, could get rid of all my enemies. And then I thought, oh, that sock monster idea. And it just flew out of me. I called my friend Jim, who's not a writer, but he was also a friend of mine that loves movies, and just, he was so hard on me. He's very, very particular in keeping everything tight and making sense. And I knew he'd be the perfect partner to do this with, because I'm making a movie about a sock monster that comes to life. So I talked to him, and it just kind of poured out of me. Like all the things I had learned in therapy while I was going through it, a lot of stuff that, you know, because my main character in Crust is going through a depression at the beginning of the film. And the film is truly about when you're in a tough spot, how do you handle it? Danny Roebuck's character is a person who lost his wife and he's drinking a lot, you know? Instead, there's the hard work that we have to do, which is therapy or reading a good, you know, psych book and a worksheet or something, or, you know, people just go start drinking, or people start, you know, doing too many things that aren't good for them, or get a sock monster that offs your friends. None of that is a good decision. So it's kind of like a movie about that. And there's so many people who have gone through anxiety or depression who have read it and said, wow, you have a lot of, you know, things that are interesting in there that seem relatable to me. So
it's incredible how something as dark and as almost crippling like depression mm-hmm. can feel, how it rings out these lights.
Yeah.
And that's how this podcast got started for me too.
I didn't want to take up, you know, I was so curious what led you to meld the, you know, entertainment and mental health.
So it's a twofold, to be honest. The first one ended up being that I ended up going through my own depression because I went through a job demotion. Okay. And kind of going through that and reconnecting with a friend of mine at the time that we had just, our lives had kind of drifted us apart. This project brought us together. He's no longer with us anymore. One of the things that, and then on the flip side of that, one of the things that I heard a lot about was, I would ask people when I would go to cons, like, you know, why are you a fan of Spider-Man, or why do you play video games, or why do you like Batman? And people would say, hey, like, I am this fandom because this helps me escape a heartbreak, or these characters understand what I'm going through, stuff like that. Like they connected their own mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a community.
You know, absolutely.
We all need a community. And I, you know, my wife's so great because her family is like very sportsy, and, you know, she's dressing up as Poison Ivy and going to a con or whatever. And they'll say, oh, how nerdy, how this. And she's like, didn't you paint your face as Pittsburgh Steelers last week and wear a jersey of someone on the team? That's cosplay. 100%. That's cosplay. And even though that cosplay is okay, you know, but obviously sports are a community. But then I found out, you know, I didn't know anyone cared about Roach or People Under the Stairs or any of that stuff until Facebook came out and all these people kept saying, we want to meet you at a con, we want to. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know that existed. And then when I went out there, I felt like it was the idea that people, if I did a play, I'd go in the lobby and I'd talk to everyone after the play. This the same thing. It's just my plays running all the time, you know, and meeting people. And then you really get the impact of how entertainment helps people through. Like a guy said, you know, I used to watch Twister every Thanksgiving with my mom. It was, you know, right before dinner, right after dinner, we'd sit down and watch it. She goes, it's going to be hard this year because my mom passed. He goes, but she'd be so glad I met you. And there's no way I'm not going to watch it because it'll make me think. And you go, wow, entertainment actually helps people pull through some tough times, you know? And I just really thought of the value of it. And so that's why I was so interested about your podcast.
Well, thank you. For me, like, also too, like, on that note, I know it's divisive among fans, but I brought up Halloween 2 specifically earlier because I, like, right around the time that, a couple weeks after, I think it had gotten released on, like, physical media, so DVD, Blu-ray, I actually lost a friend to suicide. It's kind of how I got started with mental health. And I felt so confused in that time to where I was like, I don't know what to do with this pain. I have so many questions. I have so many answers. I need answers. Yeah. And to just kind of escape for a few hours, I watched that movie like on repeat. And I just absolutely, like, that movie means the world to me.
Now, because he goes into some more psyche, right? That's why. Yeah. He delves a little deeper into, you know, why Michael Myers, you know?
Yeah, and that's why I love the Halloween too. And you know, it just again you see the connection that mental health has through pop culture, and
Yeah.
if you can make that connection, people are more likely to talk and be open about their own mental health journeys as well. And that's why I love again I love that something. What sounds to be like just a throwback to the 80s with Crust and kind of like this like almost like schlocky horror, how it's coming out of this dark place.
Well, it's it did. It definitely came out. And I think, but what I found was a community in that sense. And I also thought about how fun this would be actually to go to a horror convention with socks, signing socks and having the creature and all that. And for people to take photos with and things like that. But mainly it was also, you know, it came out of that pain, but I also found my community and met Felissa Rose because I love Sleepaway Camp. And not everybody knows Sleepaway Camp, but my wife's a huge Rocky Horror, but not everyone, but the people who love it, love it. And that's the movie I want to make. So, you know, investors would say, well, you should not shoot it in black and white because I'm shooting in black and white. They're like, you shouldn't do that. And you should do this. And if you want to do it international, we want to get on the shelves of Walmart. And I go, but I'm not making it for them. I'm making it for the people at the horror convention who want to grab onto something fun after coming home, being out and go out. And then, you know, every good movie has an underpinning, as we know, like the Cold War in, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and you know, Night of the Living Dead, with kind of 60s racism, as it was the black guy gets shot at the very end, and very deep themes. And Nope was about like the exploitation of nature and animals, and how it's not really, you know, you get what you take the risk when you try to mess with it. Like they're all of them are about something, and this is about when you're down, how do you deal with it? You know, how do we deal with it, and how do we make, and a lot of these people in this movie, for entertainment's sake, make the wrong decisions, you know, and it gets worse, as opposed to, you know, this is a movie about, you know, the guy who gets a really good book, studies it, goes to therapy, and gets well. <You know? laughs> No one's going to see that movie. So, you know, the more they get deeper into it, and you're right, like, and what's interesting is I went through a relapse just last year at the end of 21, right after I got married. And it was weird to me because it was everything that I ever wanted in terms of a partner, and so much happiness there. And it was very strange to go through that. And I thought, why would I, you know, there's no, you know, I got the depression of the kids, you know, and not being able to celebrate Christmas in their house and all that stuff. But this was felt like, why now? But it was, I think it was just mortality, getting older, thinking, oh, I've got everything I want. Now everything's over. It was just a weird feeling. And this whole directorial debut, me producing, me doing this Indiegogo and getting it out there and all that stuff, it's the same energy. It's that same, like, you come out the other end and you're like, I want to live, just like your podcast. Like, I want to share this. I have something I want to say, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think what's really interesting is I feel like part of me grew up with you, watching movies like, you know, People Under the Stairs and Batman Returns. And I mean, I'm pretty sure that like you've done like Disney or Nickelodeon at some point. Yeah, I'm just like
Wizards of Waverly Place. And
yes.
The boogity boogity boogity, that guy, the Halloween episode. Yeah.
Yeah, so like part of me like feels like I really connected with your like stuff. And also you did one of my favorite horror films that flies under the radar with Drive Thru. As well. Yeah, you know,
can I tell you, I just saw that for the first time last month because it got renamed.
It wasn't
called Drive Thru. Well, no, it came out as Drive Thru, but when I did it, it was called something else. So I never really, I guess that was just, it was a busy time. And I don't know. I don't know why I never found it. And then people started to say drive through. And I was like, huh. And I went back and I go, oh, that's that movie that I was a crazy janitor or whatever. And so I finally watch it. It's just my wife is so scared of clowns and stuff like that that she was like, all right, you're watching. So I had to kind of speed through it. But it was fun to finally go, oh, you know, I finally got to see it. But yeah, that's like a fun, campy, you know, type itself. I think for me, I didn't want to do another masked or big person, yeah. You know? I think that's why I wanted to do like a creature like, you know, the only other time I can think about it was Audrey 2, right?
Sure.
In Little Shop of Horrors. And the original one was super crazy. Roger Corman in 3 days, you know? And so it's, you know, I wanted to make him lovable, likable, but also, you know, where do we stand with him and things like that. So I think that's, and I, it was really easy for me to go, now I've just seen so many big, scary things, either a clown or a guy with a mask or whatever, that's having this small thing in a laundry basket. You know, a lot of people said, oh, basket case, but he doesn't live in the basket very much. But he's kind of like a blob, you know?
Sure.
And I'm a puppeteer. And I was a puppeteer as a kid. So having a practical puppet thing is very, very cool. And again, I just wanted something weird and fun, you know? I write sketches at the Groundlings. I'd write like, they're on a bad date and she's, you know, such a jerk. And I would write it and I would just tear it up because I've just seen that so many times. I only want something that's different. If I can't do something different, I'm not interested in it. And so I had to do something to keep me interested, you know? That's what I keep thinking keeps it.
I am curious. I mean, you know, when it comes to like directing, you know, you've been in the craft for nearly a little over 30 years at this point.
Yeah.
So like, you know, switching from something like, like a character actor, like what, you know, most people know you from to now being like, hey, like I'm the guy that is not only the producer, but also the writer, the director, what are some like challenges that you've kind of faced early on? Because you guys are still in like pre-production for this.
Pre-production, so. Yeah, we started in April. I think it's the constant, you know, you just have to find people who want to be a part of it and sure. understand how lucky we are to be a part of it. People that I thought would be super chill or whatever, fun, and then people who I thought, you know, are acting a little nuts, and the people who I thought might be a little difficult or beautiful. You just don't know. It's just people, when people think like, oh, you've got something that a lot of people want. I think that's a really interesting thing. But, you know, I fought really hard. You know, Felissa and Dan are fantastic producers, Ricky Dean Logan, they're fantastic. And they had their own actors and a lot of crew. And, you know, and I just said, listen, I need my actors. I have to work with people I've worked with. I can only have people on the set that I trust on the acting front. Like, I don't want this idea. And listen, I'm not a huge fan of Clerks and people get a little mad. And I just said, it's only because if you wouldn't ask me to watch a movie that was blurry, you wouldn't ask me to watch a movie that you couldn't really hear. But why would you ask me to watch a movie that has actors that don't know how to act, you know? And that was kind of hard for me because I go, I get it, but why is this passable? People go, oh, it's the writing. And I go, but the writing comes alive with actors. I get it. I totally see the appeal. I saw the movie. I get it 100%. You know what I mean? And I'm no disrespect to Kevin Smith. But for me, I think when people think of low budget movies, they think of bad acting, you know?
Sure.
And I'm making sure that does not happen on this movie. That's why Danny Roebuck, Alan Ruck, Felissa Rose, Rebecca Kennedy, you know, really good, solid actors. And I think mainly to me, it's, you know, we're doing an Indiegogo. You can still help. When they say, oh, you met your goal, that is never what you're going for. It's to keep you relevant on the page and you can surpass it. So a lot of people think, oh, you're done. You got it. It's like, no. We were doing that just to get on the page and get going. But like I said, I think it's, you know, running that's an all day thing. Now also I have to work with my DP to get a shot list together, because once we get all the shots figured out, then I can start working on rehearsals with my actors. Then I can start working on me acting, you know? So I'm taking it one piece at a time, raising the money, doing all that stuff, putting out fires when you can. It's like, I feel like you're building a structure while putting out fires, you know? And there's luckily I don't have a lot of fires because I really have a great group of people who are very appreciative and know, you know, this isn't going to, you know, we don't have a huge trailer and a gift basket for you waiting when you get to the set.
Sure.
It's an independent movie. But I wanted to get them liking it from the script, and they all loved the script. And that's what was exciting for me.
Most of our audience has been blessed with the breaking of that Clerks notion where they understand, they know that like there are going to be movies that are going to be a DIY, that are going to really lean into that camp and that absurdity and the bad acting trope and everything like that. Yeah. There are going to be movies that are just bad for bad sake.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have movies out there that are like well acted, well shot, well written, well like edited, like just through and through. Some of my favorite filmmakers working today are like filmmakers that circle around the DIY scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really excited to see this movie. I love the fact that this is, it can be shot in black and whites. I love the idea that this is definitely feels like kind of like the Twilight Zone meets like something that like Roma would produce is kind of what the way that you make it sound.
First of all, Rod Serling was and probably still is my hero. I didn't know for years that he wrote the first Planet of the Apes. You know, did you know that he wrote the original Planet of the Apes movie?
I didn't. Outside of horror movies, Planet of the Apes is my favorite film franchise. That blows my mind.
The OG five.
I have them over here in my physical collection. I have a statue back here too. So
it's a perfect circle. It's a perfect circle. The fifth feeds into the first one, and it's like, oh my god! And it's Rod Serling wrote it. So Rod Serling wrote Twilight Zone, Night Gallery, the first Planet of the Apes. And if you think about the first Planet of the Apes, and you'll know this well, you know, they marketed all the cool stuff. Well, the first part is very weird and actiony, and the last part is obviously weird. And the whole middle part is a debate on does man deserve to be on a planet when they can't really take care of themselves and they always fight each other. And that, remember that whole trial scene in the middle?
It's I do.
Very, very Twilight Zone-y in terms of they're literally making, it's like it could be its own play about the ethics of does man exist? And you think, Rod Serling, dude, he gets all this super cool stuff, just like we were talking about meaning. He gets all these super cool ideas out with this ape thing, you know?
Yeah, it's that's wild. So
great. And then obviously the end is, no, they can't. They don't deserve it, you know? And he's just a, so for you to say Twilight Zone and Troma, I love, I love that. I mean, to me, that's a compliment. You know, some people be like, whoa, dude, what? I love that. Are you kidding? Twilight Zone's the best, you know? And Troma keeps it light and fun. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you are currently, we're short on time, but as of today, Alan Ruck has also joined the cast as well.
First time we've acted together since Twister, 27 years. So.
Congratulations. He's a great actor as well.
Yeah. No, I'd love to come back and talk more about this because I've read really good books that are helpful and finding out about learned optimism and cognitive therapy and all this stuff that is not raw. It's like Learned Optimism was a huge book that helped me because it wasn't, it's not, I don't know if you know the book, it's by Seligman. He's very famous in the idea that it's not the proactivity, Tony Robbins, rah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. It's just the absence of pessimism.
Yeah.
As opposed to saying, wow, that call didn't go that well. I wish it would have went better. Instead of going, oh, that call, and you personalize it. I must be the worst person in the world. Or, and then, you know, make it bigger and catastrophize it and say, I must be a terrible person. What am I doing even trying to do business? You know what I mean? All that kind of stuff, just to learn how to write down the thing and dispute it with facts and go through. And I had a huge notebook that I had to get through to kind of relearn everything. And mental health is huge. And I'm looking for, I would like to have a company or a something that I could actually have join me kind of on this film about, you know, normalizing mental health. And, sure. And like I said, this movie is, it's not like Michael Corleone is the healthiest guy in the world. By yeah. the time he shuts the door in his wife's face and lies and says, oh, I didn't kill your brother, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's not in great mental health at that point. So I guess my point is that, like, I it came out of a really dark place. I touch it on in the movie. I talked about what I learned, you know, being the hero of your own story, which is the scariest thing for every single one of us. So yeah, I'd love to come back.
I would love to have you back. Like I said, this, I would love to hear more of your story and kind of like where the creativity, kind of started, where the depression kind of ended, and like how the two battled back and forth for your soul.
That's a great, it's a great way to put it, man.
Yeah. So you guys can support Indiegogo, right now. I will provide a link in the description. If you guys are watching this on YouTube, click the links down below. And I will also have a link in the podcast notes as well. If you guys are listening to this, wherever you guys get your podcast from.
One quick note, if you get a special thanks, so you'll be a part of movie history, me and Alan acting together for the first time in 27 years, but also other, it's original. It's not Toy Story 5 or Frozen 3 or whatever. It's a new fun original thing. If you get a special thanks credit, that'll be, you'll be in the movie forever. It's $25. But also, if I get 1,000 of those, and we've got like almost 100, I will, the fans voted and they said that I have to dress up and perform a drag show. So I will do that if we get 1,000 special thanks. So that's your incentive.
There you go, guys. Make sure that you guys go support Crust and continue to support independent film. Because we love independent film here at Victims and Villains, and we're really, really glad to have. I'm really glad to actually just have the opportunity to sit down and talk with you, Sean. It's been a true pleasure. If you guys are listening to this right now, you guys can go to victimsandvillains.net for more podcasts like this, as well as links to all of our social media, and most importantly, our mental health resource library. So until next time, remember to stay classy. If you or someone you know is listening to this podcast right now and you're struggling with suicide, addiction, self-harm, or depression, we encourage you guys to please reach out. This is the heartbeat of why we do what we do. Suicide is currently the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. And as of this recording, there are 132 suicides that take place each and every day on American soil. And when you scale back internationally, there are 800,000 successful suicides. That is one death roughly every 40 seconds. So if you or someone you know is struggling, you guys can go to victimsandvillains.net/hope. That resource is going to be right in the description wherever you guys are currently listening or streaming this. There you'll find resources that include the National Suicide Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-8255. You can also text HELP to 741-741. We also have a plethora of other resources, including churches, getting connected with counselors, LGBT resources like the Trevor Project, and also Veteran Hotline as well. Please, if you hear nothing else in the show, understand that you, yes, you listening to this right now, have value and worth. We get it. Suicide, depression, mental health, these are hard topics, and the stigma around them doesn't make it any easier. But please consider the resources right in the descriptions below, wherever you guys are listening, because once again, you have value and you have worth. So please stay with us.